ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, text 29, page 102. Ascharya vat pashati chas chid enam Acharyavad adati tadvaiva sannayaha Acharyavad chanam anya sri noti Sudvapi enam vedana chaiva kaschid Word for word, Acharya Vat, as amazing, Pashati, sees, Kaschid, someone, Enam, his soul, Acharya Vat, as amazing, Madati, speaks of, Tata, Gauss. Eva, certainly. Cha, also. Anya, another. Acharya Vat, similarly amazing. Cha, also. Enam, the soul. Anya, another. Vinati, hears of. Udra, having heard, Api, even, Enam, the soul, Veda, knows, Na, never, Cha, and, Eva, certainly, Kachit, someone. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. Purport. Since Gita Upanishad is largely based on the principle of Upanishads, it is not surprising to find this passage in the Katha Upanishad. The fact that the atomic soul is within the body of a gigantic animal, and the body of a gigantic banyan tree, and also in the microbic germs, millions and billions of which occupy only an inch of space, is certainly very amazing. Men with a poor fund of knowledge and men who are not austere cannot understand the wonders of the individual atomic spark of spirit, even though it is explained by the greatest authority of knowledge who imparted lessons even to Lord Brahma, the first living being in the universe. Owing to a gross material conception of things, most men in this age cannot imagine how such a small particle can become both so great and so small. So men look at the soul proper as wonderful, either by constitution or by description. Illusioned by material energy, people are so engrossed and subject matters for sense gratification, they have very little time to understand the question of self-understanding, even though it's a fact that without this self-understanding, all activities result ultimately in ultimate defeat in the struggle for existence. Perhaps they had no idea that one must think of the soul and thus make a solution to material miseries. Some people were inclined to hear about the soul maybe attending lectures in good association, but sometimes owing to ignorance they are misguided by acceptance of the super soul and the atomic soul as one without distinction of magnitude. It's very difficult to find a man who perfectly understands the position of the super soul, the atomic soul, the respective functions, relationships, and all of the major and minor details. It's still more difficult to find a man who has actually derived full benefit from knowledge of the soul, who's able to describe the position of the soul in different aspects. But if someone somehow or other one is able to understand the subject matter of the soul, then one's life is successful. The easiest process for understanding the subject matter of the self, however, is to accept the statements of Bhagavad Gita spoken by the greatest authority, Lord Krishna, while being deviated by other theories. This also requires a great deal of penance and sacrifice either in this life or in the previous ones before one is able to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna can, however, be known as such by the causes of mercy of the pure devotee and by no other ways. Shri Chaitanya Nirobhistam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Giramayam Tanti Swapatantikam Manchakopa Jurujascha Viva Sindhu Evascha Pranam Padmevyo Vaishnevyo Namara Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Hare So we'll read the translation one more time. Some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing, some hear of him as amazing. Others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. So this is a very amazing verse. And it's even more amazing if we can understand it. But we can take a survey. How many people in this room don't believe in the soul? Raise your hand. And how many people accept the fact that the soul is there? That's 100%. So in this verse, amazing, three times is there. And three kinds of people. Some people see the soul as amazing. That means those who are self-realized. Some speak about him as amazing. I mean those who preach the message of Krishna consciousness all over the world. And some hear about him. And those who attend such meetings as his Bhagavad Gita class or other classes and lectures about Krishna consciousness. And then there's still the fourth class of people who can't understand anything about the soul. So, amazing means being overwhelmed with wonder. So it is quite amazing that 99.9% of the population in this world don't have any idea about the soul. And there's so many big universities, big colleges, schools everywhere in the world, but there's no department that teaches anyone about the soul. That's quite amazing, because otherwise the whole world is going on under false names and false forms. Someone thinks I'm American, someone thinks I'm Indian, someone thinks I'm Chinese, someone thinks I'm white, someone thinks I'm black, someone thinks I'm yellow. All these are designations, false designations. And the doctor will testify that if you examine the stool and urine of a black man or a white man or a yellow man, it's all the same. Or a man or a woman, it's all the same. So there may be bodily differences, and of course there's 8,400,000 species of life, beginning with the plants and trees in the water, living entities in the water, then the reptiles, insects, then the birds, then the beasts, then the human beings. So out of these 4,800,000 species, which include the demigods, there are only 400,000 which are civilized, are human beings, which includes the demigods. So only the human beings can understand anything about anything, any kind of philosophy. The dogs and cats and the monkeys and the hogs and all the other living entities, they have some kind of intelligence, how to get food, how to have sex, how to sleep, how to mate, but they don't have any intelligence to inquire about self-realization, atato brahma jignasa. So this is the difference between a human being and an animal. Animals eating, sleeping, mating, defending. A human being is also eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So if a human being doesn't inquire into why I'm in this material world, what is the purpose of life, then he's no better than the animals. The Prabhupada called this the cat and dog civilization, misguided, misdirected civilization, where everything is based on the bodily conception of life. And everyone is programmed to believe that I should eat as much food as possible, I should sleep as much as possible, I should have as much sex life as possible, and if there's trouble, I should defend as much as possible. But the animals are all doing this also. So there must be, so there's no difference between human society and animal society. But if human beings are a little inquisitive, then they can try to understand that there's something beyond this, these misconceptions. And of course we approach people with a book on Krishna consciousness, they say, I have no time. So they have no time for spiritual life. And they don't want to try to understand that life is meant for more than just trying to make a lot of money, which is doesn't solve the solution to the miseries of life, adiatmic, adidaivic, adibodhic. So everyone is suffering in this material world. And those people are suffering because they're not trying to understand anything about self-realization. So they can't understand. Bogai Sarapasanam says those are too much attached to material sense enjoyment. The resolute determination of devotional service does not take place. So there's four kinds of people: the Mudhas, the Niranamas, the Maya Prakriti Gyan, and the atheists. The Mudhas are those people who are working hard day and night, like the ass. The ass is carrying a heavy load to get some grass. It carries a heavy load a long way and to get some grass. But there's grass out everywhere. He doesn't have to carry the load, but he doesn't understand that. So he carries the load, and then he puts the load down, and the owner gives him some grass. And he goes to have sex life with the Shias, and he gets kicked in the face. So this is the Buddha. Then there's the Naradama, those who are a little more intelligent and try to think they have some understandings and philosophies, some, consider themselves learned scholars, think people are scholarly, but they also can't understand anything about the soul. Then there's Maya Prakriti Gyan, the scientist, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. Prabhupada says that they have some knowledge, but their knowledge is limited, or a poor fount of knowledge. The scientists say that life comes from matter. But Prabhupada defeated that argument over and over again. Krishnadas Kaviraj, also Chaitanya Charitamrita, says life cannot come from matter. One car, you take two cars of the same make, you can't, and put them together, you can't produce and give birth to a baby car. So chemicals cannot produce more chemicals. So this is an illusion. The scientists also tell everybody that there's no life on any other planet. But we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that there's life on every single planet, but it's according to the body that one has. It's like outside here we have a pond, and there's fish swimming, living in the pond. So how many people in this room could live in the pond? We can't, because we don't have a body that's meant to live in water. But that fish can live in water very happily. So there's life on every single planet in this universe, in every universe, but they get a body according to their karma, according to the atmosphere on that planet. So Krishna said, he spoke the science of Bhagavad Gita to the sun god 120 million years ago. So there's life on the sun, there's life on the moon, there's life on every single planet. But the life forms are different than on this planet. So this is because of false ego, the scientists, they give this interpretation, there's no life on any other planet, because we think that we're the greatest living entities, and there's no one can be, there can't be life on any other planet. So this is a misconception that the scientists have and they teach in the schools. And Prabhupada was there in England, 1969. He saw the moon landing on television. And one of the servant was trying to massage Prabhupada and watch the moon landing, and he was doing a bad job, and Prabhupada kept chastising him. So, but once it was over, they turned off the television, and Prabhupada said, they never went to the moon. So, everybody else in the world, including myself, I saw it on television when I was in school, believe that they went to the moon. But the fact is, the moon is 96 million miles away, and the sun is 93 million miles away, and the moon looks like it's closer than the sun, but it's twice as big as the sun. And to go to the moon by mechanical means is impossible, because they have no such mechanical means to go 96 million miles in 3 days and go there and say it's just a barren desert. And Krishna says, I enter the moon and I supply the juice of life to all vegetables. So you don't get too many vegetables from a barren desert. So it was all a show, a very good show, that they tricked the whole world into believing that they went to the moon. But you can't go to any other planet without the proper karma. According to your karma or your activities in this life, you go to another place in your next life. So it's like if you want to come to India, you have to have a visa, or you can't get in the country. So you have to have a visa to go to the moon. And you can't go to the moon by mechanical means. And thus, they don't have the mechanical means to go so far and come back so quick. It's just impossible. It's not believable that they actually went to the moon. Although they did a good job of fooling the general mass of people. So these people are scientists and the knowledge is stolen by illusion, and it's very difficult to preach to such kind of people because they're so have such big false egos and they think they know everything already. So to try to explain to someone that you're not this body, that you're a spirit soul, is very difficult. And devotees have found that even when they joined this movement, the parents of the devotees, they were also, in many cases, not favorable and couldn't even entertain the thought that there was some philosophy that made sense other than what they already knew. So people don't take to Krishna consciousness. Everyone, you wonder why more people don't take to Krishna consciousness, because they're conditioned. And many people think that Krishna consciousness is there when you get old, then you can take the spiritual life. But when people get old, they're conditioned in so many ways of thinking, so many ways of living, they still can't take the Krishna consciousness or take the spiritual life. So it's quite amazing that even a small section of people in this world are taking the Krishna consciousness. And It is not by accident, but Prabhupada says it's due to past life sukriti. Many people come to the temple every day and chant and dance with us because they have some sukriti from past life, and they like to chant and dance even though they don't follow any sadhana. This is called rati, or a shadow attachment, because they had some attachment or some something in their past life. So, to realize this soul, it says, Bhavanam Jamanam Ante Gyanavamam Prabhajante Vasudeva Samamiti Samaha Masadurlaba. That such a great soul is very rare. So after many, many lifetimes, one may come to this position of understanding, I'm not this body. We see in the life of Narada Muni, he was in the heavenly planets, a demigod named Upabara. And he had a beautiful body and was enjoying many celestial women. And then the Sankirtan party came by. They were chanting, and he was chanting cinema songs. So they cursed him to become the son of a maidservant devoid of beauty. So he came to earth, became the son of a maidservant devoid of beauty. But because he got the association of saintly persons and was able to take their remnants and hear from them, he became self-realized. When his mother died, he was 5 years old. He performed austerity, went to the forest, and got the darshan of the Lord. And after that life, some time, he became Narada Muni, the great Devarshi Narada, the self-realized soul who can go everywhere and anywhere. And everybody appreciates Narada Muni. And he goes to Kamsa and other people and tells them to help speed up pastimes and relate the pastimes of different individuals. So this is one example. And Dronacharya, I was on the battle, etc., and he agreed to fight against the Pandavas as long as he didn't hear any bad news. He said as soon as he heard some bad news, he would stop fighting. So Krishna told Yudhisthira, you tell Dronacharya that his son Ashwatthama is dead. Of course, that wasn't true. And Maharaj Yudhisthira is a Shuddha Gatra. He never had told a lie in his life. So he hesitated to speak. So Bhima came there and shot an elephant who was named Ashwatthama and killed him. And then Maharaj Yudhisthira shouted out to Dronacharya, Ashwatthama is dead. The elephant. So Dronacharya then stopped fighting, and because they attacked him and killed him, but he had already was self-realized, had already left his body, and knew that he wasn't his body, and went to another destination. Same thing with Maharaj Parikshit. When he heard the news that he had 7 days to live, he gave up his kingdom, gave up everything, and sat on the bank of the Ganges or Yamuna to hear from Sukadeva Goswami for 7 days until he found out that the snake bird was going to come and bite him, and then he would die. So before the snake bird actually bit him, he had was out of the bodily conception of life. He was self-realized. So he didn't know that the snake bird had bit him. So in this way, there's many examples of great souls who had come to that platform of realizing Aham Brahmasmi, that I'm not this body, that I'm a spirit soul. The four Kumaras were also Brahman realized, but until they went to Vaikuntha and Lord Vishnu came out, they smelled the lotus flower, tulsi leaves, offered to the feet of the Lord, then their minds changed, then they became Vaishnavas. Same way, the nine Yogendras, the sons of Maharaj Rishabhdev, were also Brahman realized souls, knew they weren't their body, but they had to be instructed by Narada Muni and Lord Brahma before they became Vaishnavas. So there are many cases of great souls and personalities who were Brahman realized and understood they weren't their body, they were spirit soul. But here it says that it's difficult to come to that position. It's not so easy to understand. We can hear about it. So people, those people are amazed that they understand they're not the soul, and our Brahman realized. And some people, like we're reading about the Python Man in the seventh canto, he was also a realized soul. And so he had given up all kinds of material activities and was just staying in one place and depending on Krishna for whatever came his way, that's what he would accept. He didn't make any endeavor to get food or get clothes or to get have a nice bed or have a house or anything. Because he understood he wasn't his body. If you understand you're not this body, then you don't have to endeavor to maintain his body. Of course, these Uttama Adhikari, here, the self-realized souls, they do seem to be in the bodily conception of life. But they're not actually in that bodily conception of life, only due to because they have to set a good example for others. But as long as we're practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, then we understand, then we're trying to come to that level of understanding that I'm not this body. Here it says the process, the easiest process, except statement of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the 12th chapter that Arjuna inquired, which is considered more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, or the unmanifested? Krishna said, those who fix their minds on my personal form are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. But those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancing is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. For those who worship me, giving up all activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O Sampita, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So there's two paths, one the impersonal path and the path of devotional service. And the impersonal path, Krishna says, is very troublesome. We see the example of Vishwamitra Muni. He was meditating for 60,000 years, but he was not successful. When the denizen from heaven, Saiti girl, came, her name is Menaka, he broke his meditation and fell down from his position. He didn't close the door. Also, there was Sabara Muni, who was meditating in the Yamuna for 10,000 years. He also became attracted to sex life and gave up his meditation. So in this way, we can understand that the easiest process for self-realization is to practice devotional service. And here it says that by penance and sacrifice, this from this life or past life, then one can come to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and realize come to realize that I'm not this body. Jivarasuvai Nitya Krishna Das, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. But it requires the mercy of a pure devotee. Rasa Prasada, Bhagavata Prasada, Rasa Prasada, Narakanda Gopi. Every day we chant the, if one can please the pure devotee, then Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, the pure devotee is pleased. So first principle in Krishna consciousness is one must accept a bona fide spiritual master. And a bona fide spiritual master is one who can take his disciple back to Godhead. So Prabhupada told his disciples that if they chanted 16 rounds, followed the four principles for their whole life, that he would take them back to Godhead. He said that he had the key to the back door, and that we should hold on tightly to Prabhupada's dhoti so he can take us back to Godhead. So this was a penance or a tapasya that we have to perform. When practicing Bhakti Bhakti, there are certain rules and regulations that we have to follow, even though we may not like to do it. The spiritual master's order should be followed in all circumstances. So the spiritual master says you should rise early in the morning before 4 o'clock, come to Mangalarti, which we don't like to do in the beginning when we start practicing Krishna consciousness. We don't like to do that, but we do it anyhow because it's the order of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master may order you to do something that you would not ordinarily do, or order you not to do something that you would ordinarily do. So first thing is we have to promise to follow four regulated principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. This is mandatory for everyone, man, woman, child, everyone in the Krishna consciousness movement. In the 7th canto, chapter 12, text number 11, says no illicit sex, even for the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. The grihastha grihastha ashram is a license for sense gratification, but it doesn't mean that you can have as much sex life as you want. In the grihastha ashram, if a person wants to have a child, wants to have sex life only once a month, with the permission of the guru, to beget a God-conscious child, and not otherwise. That is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. And also Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am sex life according to religious principles. Means sex life once a month, only for the purpose of getting a God-conscious child. So Lord Shabadev told his sons that one should not become a mother, father, spiritual master, worshipable demigod, husband, unless one can deliver dependence, take his dependence back to Godhead, and take himself back to Godhead. So one is in the grihastha ashram, you can have God-conscious children, you can have children if you can make them God-conscious. Bhakti Siddhanta said he would have 100 children if he could take them all back to Godhead. So this is duty of the grihastha ashram, not just to have children, have sex life anytime, but to have children to make them God conscious. It's not so easy. So it also says sacrifice. One has to perform sacrifice. Harinam, 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 Devalo, Kaluna, Stevana, 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 Gatiranyata. So in this age of Kali Yuga, Vajratani appeared 500 years ago to give us the sacrifice for the age, which is chanting with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when they opened the temple here, 1975, they also had to call the local Brahmins and perform a Vara Yajna, just so the people would accept this temple as being bona fide. But Prabhupada said that was not necessary, that the kirtan was all that was required. The kirtan, the chanting of the holy name, was all that was required, and that is the only form of sacrifice that is required in this age. Of course, we have other sacrifices or ceremonies for initiation, for weddings, for different functions. They're also there not to be excluded or denied, but every function should be, the chanting of the holy name should be there in the beginning and in the end. It's like a class, when we have class, the class always begins with a kirtan, the artik ceremony, there's kirtan, everything we do, the kirtan is there as part of the ceremony. So in this way, the idea of hearing about the soul, about how the soul is an ever-living entity, is something that devotees accept as a fact. And we just, but to realize that I'm not this body, that I'm a spirit soul, may it take some time. So Rupa Goswami says we should be patient, confident, and have determination. In the 15th chapter, it says that there's a banyan tree which has roots upward, branches down, and the leaves are the Vedic hymns. And one who knows this tree cannot proceed in this world, but one should understand that one should, with determination, one could cut down this tree with the weapon of a detachment. And that way, surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and go back to Godhead. So we have to become detached from this world, and that's what Lord Chaitanya came to teach by Vairagya Vidya Nidya Bhakti Yoga. He came to teach knowledge which fosters pure devotional service and detachment from the material world that also brings about pure devotional service. Anya Bilas Sita Sunyam Gyanakarma Ravijam Anukalina Krishnasno Bhakti Uttamam. So people, devotees in this movement are going all over the world preaching Krishna consciousness, preaching to the people that we're not this body, that we're a spirit soul. The example of when we say, this is my head, this is my body, my arm, my leg, it belongs to me, so where are you? So where are you? We're not any of these things. These things are mine, but they're not me. The real me, the self, is not, we haven't understood that the body is only a covering for the real living entity. And when the soul is out of the body, the soul is the life force in the body. When the soul is out of the body, deino smenya tadehe komaramyo vanamjara tatadeyan parapaptir tirasatrasna muyate. When boyhood to youth to old age, at the time of death, this body is changing, but the person in the body, the soul in that body, as again, goes to another body. It also says in the 15th chapter that the soul, the conditioned soul, accepts one body after another as the air carries the aroma. So it's a very subtle thing, and no one can see the soul because it's so tiny, and no one can understand the soul, but we can understand this by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, that the something, the life force in the body makes one a difference between a live body and a dead body is the presence of the soul. As soon as the soul is out of the body, even though the body is there and all the chemicals are there, the body begins to decay, and there's no scientist that can bring a dead body back to life, but they can make some false claims that in the future they will do that. So in this way, people, those who are self-realized, are amazed about the soul, and those who hear about and see a people that are self-realized are also amazed. Many devotees had the experience, they saw Prabhupada for the first time, they saw that Prabhupada had an effulgence, which is something you wouldn't expect to see in America. Govinda Swarup Prabhu testifies that when he was going to school, he saw Prabhupada walking down the street, and he said that man had an effulgence. So because Prabhupada was so advanced, spiritual advanced, he had an effulgence, which you don't see on an ordinary person. So he was amazed by this. And then when devotees give lectures in schools, universities, people hear about the soul, and the devotees speak about it, and the people who hear about it, they also are, it's amazing to hear something that they never heard before. To hear something that actually makes sense. When I first came to Krishna consciousness, I heard the analogy that we're not this body, and when you look in the mirror, you see the image in the mirror, it looks like you, but when you go to touch it, it's not. There's nothing there. So that idea, that conception, really made sense, that we're identifying with this body, but the body is not the real, our real identity. Devarasubhaya Nitya Krishna Das. That our real identity is we're eternal servants of Krishna. And we're supposed to try to understand this philosophy, Sambandhan Abhideya Parojana, that we're identity, we have eternal relationship with Krishna, and that eternal relationship is to be revealed to us so we can attain the highest perfection, Prema Pumartha Mohan. And this comes by chanting the pure name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Right now we'll be chanting Nama Parad or Nama Bas. But if one chants Shuddha Nam, then everything is revealed to that person. And one has full faith in the Guru and Krishna, and also all the import of the Vedas are revealed. So it will be revealed to you that what your identity is, what your Swarup is, when you're free from all material contamination, free from all modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, become the Shuddha Sattva, or pure goodness. In this way, the amazing that Krishna consciousness is amazing, and for us people who have been fortunate enough to take the Krishna consciousness, always should feel ourselves most fortunate and most fortunate, and always feel very lucky or privileged that we got the chance to engage in a eternal lifestyle which is an alternative to modern material life, material civilization, the cat and dog civilization, where people are frustrated and unhappy, and although they have so many modern facilities, the Iron Age, Kali Yuga is the Iron Age, Industrial Age, people have so much facility to live simple, live very comfortable lives, but yet they're not happy, and they're in so much anxiety. In America, it was supposed to be the most of the best country in the world. 20% of the people have to take drugs for anti-depression, for being depressed, although they have all the facility. When the only friend became a millionaire, he has all the houses he wants, he has all the cars he wants, he has everything he wants. But he said to his devotee friend that, "I think your lifestyle is much better than mine." So devotees, we all have our ups and downs, we have our problems, the body gets sick, and so many things happen, our mind gives us trouble, we try to chant japa, the mind wanders, so many different problems are there, but they're not like the same as the materialistic people who are trying to make a solution to something that can never be solved, and that is birth, death, old age, and disease. So in Krishna consciousness, we should prepare ourselves. The final test, when you go to college, they give you the final exam, and then if you pass the exam, you get your degree. So the final test for the devotee is the time of death. Yam yam bapi snaram bhavam. So what are you thinking about at the time of death? That's what you'll attain in your next life. So if you spend your whole life in Krishna consciousness, thinking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, it says that 24 hours a day we should hear, chant, remember name, form, quality, pastimes of Krishna. And this way we'll become Krishna conscious. And at the time of death, Krishna will not have to go to Yamaraj and suffer for our sinful activities, but we can go back home, back to Godhead, and not take birth again in this material world. So this verse is a little difficult to understand, but we can try to give some explanations, and if anybody has any comments or questions. Yes, is there a microphone? He wants to know why some of us are not striving for perfection. Well, that's a whole separate class. But we can understand with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami, says he that the Guru Krishna presided by Bhakti Lata Beach, that the time of initiation, the seed is planted, and as that seed grows, one has to guard, fence it around by associating with devotees and following the four regular principles. Then they have to water the creeper by hearing and chanting, and while the creeper is growing, also the weeds come, and the weeds are commonly in the form of anarthas, unwanted things. So sometimes the weeds are, the person doesn't identify the weeds as being different from the creeper. He thinks the weeds are the same species as the creeper. So eventually the weeds outgrow the creeper, and then he loses his taste for Krishna consciousness. So in order to be advancing and try to advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to be diligent gardeners and make sure when the weeds come that we pull out the weeds, that the creeper can grow healthy. It's like they plant so many trees around the Purkamark, but they're not giving it water, so the trees are drying up. In the same way, our devotional service can dry up our determination for dual service can be checked or we can stopped if we commit offenses to the holy name or offenses to devotees, or if we still harbor material desires. So we have to give up offenses and we have to give up the material desires to enjoy anything in this material world except for Krishna consciousness. Do not want desire to have more than is required to maintain body and soul together.
Is it possible we think that because we accept we're the soul, that we're self-realized and this we're devotees and there's nothing else to do? I mean, we're devotees.
So what's the question? Well, except not a body is not enough. The Maya body is accepted, not the body. The other people, yogis and jnanis, they accept not the body, but they don't get ananda, sat chit, they don't get ananda. They don't get the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So it's not enough to understand not the body, but you have to understand what our activity should be. The activity should be to engage in devotional service, beginning with nine processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. The nine processes, we have to engage nine processes of devotional service along with that understanding I'm not the body. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mantra Raj Bhagavad Gita ki jai.